It's time to bust some myths on the Health and Wellbeing Show today. I'm delighted to be joined by two people who have a very interesting specialism. They're from the Harrogate Hypnotherapy Centre. Their names are Heather Baldwin-Lewis and John Taylor. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
A lot of people have preconceptions about hypnotism, hypnotherapy, and what that is, and a lot of people are a little bit scared by it. But first of all, Heather, what is hypnosis?
Well, hypnosis is regarded as an altered state of consciousness, so being in a trance. And brain imaging studies have shown that it's in fact different to sleeping, it's different to dreaming, and it's a different state to being awake. In a trance, you're relaxed, you have a heightened suggestibility, focus and concentration. And for example, if you are completely engrossed in a film or a book, you could be in a trance, a light trance state, or perhaps if you were driving a familiar route from A to B and you suddenly arrived at B and you discovered you hadn't remembered a single thing about what happened in the intervening stage.
We've all done that, haven't we? We've all arrived somewhere and gone, I don't actually remember that journey. Yeah. So that is a trance.
That's a trance,
state of hypnosis, effectively.
Some people say that we're in a trance more times than we're not in a trance.
Okay. If that is hypnosis, is hypnotism, therefore, getting there?
Well, hypnotism is just the study or the practice of hypnosis.
Right.
So then you get to hypnotherapy, or sometimes it's called clinical hypnosis, which is actually using the state of hypnosis for beneficial improvements.
So a lot of people, when they hear about hypnotism, they imagine the pocket watch being dangled and that being how you get into a state of hypnosis, and that is the only way in some people's minds. I'm imagining that is more stage hypnosis. I'm imagining that there are lots of differences between stage hypnosis and clinical hypnosis.
Oh, absolutely. You could still use the swinging watch to actually get people into a trance. I mean, those are the more old-fashioned techniques.
Right.
You know, focusing between somebody's eyes or swinging a watch or staring at something to help.
Oh, that's the other one, isn't it? Look into my eyes, look into my eyes. How do you get people into a trance?
One of the most obvious ways, one of the most successful ways, is something called a progressive muscle relaxation. And that is a very relaxing way of getting most people into a successful trance. Progressive muscle relaxation is exactly what it seems to be. It is a relaxation process that works from the head down to the bottom of the body, and we just relax all of your muscles in turn.
And how do you do that? Do you just ask them to relax those muscles and focus on them? Or
through suggestion, through focusing on those different muscle groups. And we can do that rapidly. If people have had previous experience of that, it can be quite a rapid process. So moving from the top of your scalp down to your eyes, down to the small muscles around your jaw, into your neck, into your shoulders. Or it can be a slower process, depending on what we're trying to achieve and depending on the person.
So when you do this for clinical reasons, we'll come on to some of the reasons you do it in just a minute, but there are people who are probably a little bit worried that once you've got them into a trance, that there are things you can make them do, because they've watched that TV programme that was on last year where they had all those people running around on stage and pretending to be chickens and doing all these involuntary... I'm doing air quotes over that. You can't see that on the radio, but I'm doing air quotes around involuntary. So people might be going, well, what if this... I don't know you. I've never met you before. What if you make me behave like a chicken? Is that something they should be worried about?
Absolutely not.
Not at all. Yeah.
You can't make anybody do anything that they do not want to do. In fact, hypnotherapy is very much a cooperation between the therapist and the client. And we take them into that state of hypnosis with their permission to achieve the things that they want to do. We assist them to achieve that.
Finding a way of sort of taking down the barriers that
Absolutely.
Are stopping them from doing it on
Absolutely.
Their own.
And we all have a natural barrier in our minds. We call that the conscious critical faculty.
Is that little voice in the back of your head that goes, you can't do it, or that self-doubt?
You can see it like that. A great way of seeing our mind is like an iceberg. And the conscious mind, the bit that we're all familiar with, is the bit sticking out the top of the water. But the bulk of it is the subconscious part underneath the water. And you can see the conscious critical faculty as the waterline that separates the two. And sometimes when we've learned something, it's very difficult to unlearn it or to do it in a different way. So we have to break through that barrier between your conscious and the subconscious. And that's what hypnotherapy does very successfully.
What kind of things would people look to treat through hypnotherapy?
Oh, there's a really wide range of things that we treat. For example, you know, phobias, fear of flying, fear of dogs, fear of spiders, those sorts of things. A lot of conditions are based around anxiety, so anything that's related to anxiety conditions, whether that's generalised anxiety or a specific fear or anxiety about something. And skin conditions like psoriasis you can treat, IBS. Wow. I mean, there's
many... They're often stress-related, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it really, most of it gets back to anxiety.
And how does that happen in the session?
Well, the first thing we would do with any client is to do a full assessment and find out how they tick a bit about their automatic way of thinking and responding to things. And, of course, getting a background of the condition and how it presents. But following that, it's the first stage of a hypnosis process is the relaxation, getting them into the trance state. The next stage is something that we call a deepener, which takes you to a deeper level of trance. Mm-hmm. Now, depending on the presenting issue, sometimes a light state of hypnosis is all that is needed to treat the condition. Sometimes we take them into the deeper state. And then we would go through the therapeutic process, and some therapists will use scripts or screeds, we call them. They are usually designed specifically for the client based on their unique condition and the way that they act and think and behave.
Yeah.
And after that part is done, we will then take them out of the trance.
It's difficult to be very specific about exactly what's going to happen because, as you say, it very much depends on what the needs are of the patient, effectively, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Mm.
To that end, then, I guess this is going to be a hard question to answer too, because how many sessions did somebody typically need to say it's a phobia, remove their phobia?
Probably fewer than you think.
We usually say that it depends on the condition, because some things obviously take a lot longer than others to treat and some are very simple. But we would say that you'd probably need between 3 and 6 sessions, see beneficial change after 3. But sometimes it's much simpler than that. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people walk in once and by the end of the session they're feeling amazing and that's it.
Yeah, sometimes just going through the consultation process, having that discussion of their issues...
I can imagine, actually, yeah.
You know, is very therapeutic.
Actually just saying it out loud, you suddenly go, oh, I feel like I'm being a bit of an idiot, I'm just going to change that.
And as therapists, we're trying to dig, you know, so we might ask difficult questions.
And how successful is it? Do 100% of people who come to see you and have hypnotherapy, do they find the solution they're looking for?
No therapy is 100% successful. No physical treatment is 100% successful, so we can't obviously guarantee results. The majority of people find some beneficial change.
So it might just alleviate some of it. It might make it more bearable if it was a phobia, for example.
Yeah. Absolutely. But in the case of a phobia, we might find that one session is all that is necessary to get rid of a lifelong phobia.
Yeah.
It really does vary a little bit depending on the person. And also how deeply seated that issue is.
And whether they really want to change.
I know a lot of people, and I probably would include myself in this, I find that I think a lot. So I think I'm constantly thinking, and even when I'm trying to do something where I'm trying to focus or whatever, there's always 3 other things seem to be going on in my mind. Yeah. And I've always thought I would struggle to get into a trance because I wouldn't be able to sort of switch off. Can some people not be hypnotised?
Well, everyone is capable of being in a trance because it's a natural phenomenon, as we just discussed earlier on.
Yeah.
So, yes, everybody can be hypnotised. How people experience it is different.
Right.
You know, in a therapy session, some people may be completely aware of everything that you say to them. Other people, their mind, conscious mind, might have wandered off somewhere else and they hear nothing. Other people, you know, just drift in and out. And people go to different levels of trance. And the more you do it, the deeper people can go. So the more times you go through a therapy session, the deeper you'll go.
I suppose it's a thing to kind of practice, isn't it?
A lot of people nowadays are really not familiar with the idea of relaxing completely.
No.
So just relaxation is a strange thing to some people.
Well, there's been loads that we've covered off there, and hopefully you've learned something about hypnotherapy and hypnosis by listening to this. John, Heather, we're going to spend more time with you over the coming months. If anybody would like to find out more about Harrogate Hypnotherapy Centre, where are you and how can they get in touch?
Oh, we're based in Oxford Street, Regal Chambers in Oxford Street, right in the middle of Harrogate.